Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
Genesis chapter 46, verses 1 through 7. So Israel took his journey with all that he had, came to Beersheba, and offered sacrifices to God of his father Isaac. And God spoke to Israel in a vision of the night and said, "Jacob, Jacob." And he said, "Here am I." Then he said, "I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for there I will make you into a great nation. I myself will go down with you to Egypt, and I will also bring you up again, and Joseph's hand shall close your eyes." Then Jacob set out from Beersheba. The sons of Israel carried Jacob, their father, their little ones, and their wives in the wagons that Pharaoh had sent to carry him. They also took their livestock and their goods, which they had gained in the land of Canaan, and came into Egypt, Jacob and all of his offspring with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters and his sons' daughters. All his offspring he brought with him into Egypt. This is the word of the Lord. Please read along with me a catechetical review found in your bulletin. The Lord's Prayer, the seventh petition. But deliver us from evil. What does this mean? We pray in this petition, in summary, that our Father in heaven rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation. And finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end and graciously take us from the valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. The epistle reading for this morning is from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 19. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's suffering, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because of the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of anyone suffer as a Christian. Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in the name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel for the second Sunday of Christmas from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the second chapter. When the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose, and he took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in the region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that had been ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, Take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and he took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and he lived in a city called Nazareth, that was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, "He shall be called a Nazarene." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We continue by making the bold confession of our Christian faith in the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and descended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated, and I would invite all of our children to meet me at the Christmas tree. Let's go over there to that one. Good morning. Maybe we should say this, Merry Christmas. Is it still Christmas? It is still Christmas. We celebrate Christmas until next week when we celebrate Epiphany, which is January 6th. Now, we've been talking about all of these different symbols. Is that right? You have a birthday coming up? Whoa, that's a great thing.
Christmas is over.
It is. Whose birthday did we celebrate in Christmas? Jesus was born, right?
Yeah, Jesus was born.
right now. What is this here? It looks like a crown, right? And who wears a crown? Yeah, a king, maybe a queen would wear a crown. Today we're going to talk about a king wearing a crown. And if a king has a crown on, what's that mean? It means that he's the king, he's the ruler, right? Does he get to make the decisions? Does the king get to decide what happens? He does. Does the king have a lot of power? He does. Can the king stop bad things from happening? He can. See, the king has that much power. Now, we celebrate right now, we're celebrating Christmas, and we know the story. The king would live in a castle, right? Where does our king live right now in when we celebrate Christmas? Where are we talking about our king? Is he in a castle? At first, he was in the manger. And if you listen to the gospel reading for today, Mary and Joseph are taking baby Jesus, and it's about 2 years later. So Jesus is not a little baby in the manger. They're living in a house. And the king in the land at the day of Jesus in the gospel reading, the king is a bad king. And he's worried that he hears about somebody else who's going to be a king. And if you're the king and you hear there's another king in your land, what might you worry about? Maybe that king's going to come take over and I'm not going to be king anymore. And the king of the land, Herod, he was a bad king. He decided he didn't want anything to do with this new king because he didn't want to lose his power. So he decided, he made a very bad decision. He said, I'm going to kill all the babies that are 2 years old, that are about the size of Jesus, so I don't have to worry. God protected Jesus, and he sent him to another land until the king was dead. And then our king, King Jesus, he would eventually grow up. He would be the king of all things. It didn't look like it on earth, but what would Jesus do to make sure that when bad things happen to us, we're protected? You see right up there what's hanging there? You see the cross? You see this baby Jesus, our king, born into our world. He probably would never wear a crown and sit on a big throne like a king we might think of. He would go to the cross. And all the evil in the world, all the bad things that happen in the world, Jesus would die on the cross so that we know that no matter what happens, he is always with us. He overcomes, he wins, he is the king over all of evil, and he promises that none of that evil will ever take us away from him. That we're always forgiven, that we're always loved by him, and even when bad things happen, he continues to be with us. We are never alone. Our king, who right now we celebrate as a baby, is always with us. Well, let's go to our Lord in prayer, shall we? Will you pray with me? Dear Jesus, thanks for being our King and ruling and loving and forgiving. In your name, amen. All right, thanks guys for coming up here. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father of grace and mercy, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the hope and the promise that we have, even in the midst of the evil in our land, that you rule and you reign over all things, and that you will continue to be with us, to strengthen us as we suffer in this evil world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You don't have to look very far to find it. You don't have to even open your eyes to find it. Evil is here. It's in our land, it's in our world, it's in our workplaces, it's in our families, it's in here. The evil of the world does not hide far, and it's always trying to show its old ugly head. The old Adam in us continues to want to try to make his way forward, continues to want you to be God, want you to try to be God, wants you to continue to live in the complete selfishness of me doing what I want and not caring about anything else. Evil is in our world. It's right here in our neighborhood, in fact. I got a text message right before Christmas when our package drivers were delivering packages that there was a car following. And when the truck would put the package or the driver would put the packages on the porch, the car would wait a few minutes and then the car would pull up on the porch or by the porch and put the packages in the car. Right here in our neighborhood. Evil is among us. We don't have to go far to find it. Christmas gathered together, and for many families, the Christmas conversation turned to COVID and virus and mask or no mask, vaccine or no vaccine. And suddenly now families were divided. And they looked at members of their own family as evil because of what they believe or don't believe. You see, we don't have to go far to find it. In the gospel, in the catechetical reading, in the bulletin today, very specifically, we put the seventh petition of the Lord's Prayer. Our Lord tells us to pray and deliver us from evil. So the reality is a true and a real thing. And we live in that in our world. That petition, that seventh petition, clearly addresses the fact that we're still struggling in this world. And this isn't the, if you remember, Flip Wilson from years ago, the devil made me do it and everybody laughed evil. This is evil that seeks to take your life. This is evil that seeks to separate you from Christ by whatever means possible. Apathy, laziness, downright evil that kills people and separates us from our lives, or maybe even success and contentment. Evil takes on many forms, but its desire is always the same. Evil works to separate you from God and His promises eternally. Dr. Luther was right, and he was really pretty wise when he wrote the What Does This Mean? Listen to how he identifies the places where evil seeks to attack us. Luther writes this: "We pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us, so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive us or mislead us into false belief, despair, or other great shame or vice." Do you see the places that evil likes to hide, that evil likes to work against us? Our own sinful nature tries to deceive us. Each of us have those things that tempt us. At Christmas time, it's pretzels with almond bark that I can't seem to say no to. And that's very lighthearted. But each of us have those things in our world that we know if they get close to us, we will struggle to push away. Luther said that the sins of a man, the sins of youth are lust, and the sins of old age are greed. And he was right in the middle, and he struggled with both. You see, we never grow out of it. It just changes as we change. The evil one is wily, and he continues to try to find just that right button to push, to pull us into temptation, to cause us to fall into evil. You know what your temptations are. You've been fighting them for a long time. You're very aware how little it takes for the old Adam to be tempted and to give in. When we don't always realize, what we don't always realize is God has given us a great gift. A gift that He promises fights the evil one, fights the temptations that are there in us. Psalm 50:15 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will rescue you, and you shall glorify me." Right there in the second commandment, where our Lord bids us to use His name rightly, He's calling us to pray because He knows the battle that's in front of us. Luther would say, every morning when you rise, you should say the Ten Commandments and the Lord's Prayer and then sing a hymn and go joyfully into work. Or we might say into the world around us that would try to pull us away from Christ. See, these aren't just things to do because we're good Christian people. These are the tools of warfare to put on to fight the evil one that is there waiting to pull us away from Christ. Pray. Pray the Lord's Prayer every morning before you leave the house, and this petition: deliver us, deliver me from evil this day. We will be tempted, always, until the time that Christ comes and stands upon the earth, or the time that we go to be with Him. But this power that our Lord has given to us, the power of His prayer, trusting in Him in all things, gives us the tools to resist and to fight the evil one. Pray for protection. Pray for strength. Pray that you are not tempted. We have the second day of 2022 here, and you've all have all of these resolutions now that you've made. Add this to the list. Before you leave the house in the morning, pray the Lord's Prayer. Pray for His protection and His strength for the evil that is certainly looming in our land. There's other ways the evil one tempts us. Sometimes it's not our own temptation. Sometimes it's the place where we are. It's the people we hang around with. It's the associations we have. Don't be deceived, the writer writes from Proverbs. Bad company ruins good morals. You see, sometimes just hanging around with the wrong people can get us into trouble. Do you know the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife? Do you remember that? Joseph was not, this is Joseph of the coat of many colors, Joseph, in jail, not having a great time, but he is a man of God and he has been upright. And the jailer, Potiphar, sees this and puts him in charge of his own house, kind of like the butler, if you will, or the man in charge. And everything he entrusted to Potiphar. There wasn't anything about his life that he didn't entrust to Joseph. And as Joseph is there, Joseph is doing what he can do, serving his master, but Potiphar's wife has other things in mind. She sees Joseph. He's fine, and she wants him. And she tries to have him, and finally, Joseph is in a position where she grabs him and says, "Come to bed with me," and he says no, and he runs out of the house, but she's holding his clothes. Sometimes the best way to fight evil is simply to run away. It doesn't mean you're a coward to run from evil. It means that you know very well that the evil might overpower you. And being away from the evil is what we have sometimes. Running away from the evil is what we have sometimes so that we don't get caught up in it. Joseph's story did have a number of bumps and bruises after that. He ended up back in jail, but God continued to walk with him and to vindicate him. Potiphar's wife wanted to commit adultery on her husband, and Joseph was the one that was there. Sometimes we're simply caught in evil. No reason, no rhyme. It just simply happens. In the gospel reading for today, we have one of the most helpless situations of all when we're confronted with evil. The wise men have been following the star. They go to Herod to find out where this new king is. Herod, being the pious one, at least he wants you to think that. "When you go find the king, come back and tell me so that I might go worship him too." His intent was not to worship him. His intent was to kill him. There will not be two kings in Herod's land. He will see to that. So as the wise men are leaving and Herod is nervous, Herod decides to take matters into his own hand. Every baby, every male baby that's about 2 years old or under will be killed. These are the first martyrs, the first babies that die because of Jesus. Herod is evil. And Herod puts evil in the land, and this evil simply falls upon these families because their male child is that old. God protected Jesus through this. You heard he traveled to Egypt and then back to Galilee to avoid Herod and all of these things. But sometimes evil just falls in our laps. This week we were trying to put together a mission trip to go to Kentucky and do tornado relief, and thanks be to God, there have been so many people that have been helping them out that they did not have enough work for our team, so we're not going. But there's a 200-mile stretch through Kentucky where F4 tornadoes were on the ground and destroyed everything in their path. Houses and homes and businesses, and have taken lives. They were just there, and evil fell upon them. They had no escape. Sometimes evil happens to us. Fires in Colorado that have destroyed entire neighborhoods. We live in a land where evil has fallen upon us, where abortion is legal, and we know it's wrong, and yet do we do anything? Are we praying each day for the end of abortion? Are we praying for the protection of the lives of the little ones that have no say in what mom or dad do? It is an evil in our land, and as you have heard, evil reigns when good men do nothing. Our God is not incapable. We continue to ask that He hold us up, that He strengthen us, that He reverse this, but most importantly, that He continues to give parents the love of the child that grows in them. Sometimes when we get caught up in all of these different evil things, we simply wonder why. We ask God, why? Why me? What's going on? We have a tendency to fall into some patterns when we do that. We have a tendency to blame it on everyone and everything else. It's somebody else's fault and we play the victim. Or we might very easily try to be the Lone Ranger, try to do it all ourselves, not tell anyone, just go through it being our own strength. When we're caught up in the reality of evil, the hope we have is the consolation that we have from our King born into our world. In the midst of all of the evil and the pain and the suffering going on in Jesus' world, God continued to protect him so he would continue to protect us. Being caught up in the helplessness and the reality of evil and suffering in the world does not mean that we're alone in it. It is exactly there in our weakness that we rely on the one who has already walked through the suffering, died, risen again, and lives today for us. Do you remember St. Paul, as he was given that thorn in the flesh? 3 times he prayed to God to remove it so that he wouldn't be struggling with this, and God's answer was this: my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. There's a saying that we misuse. We say that God won't give us more than we can handle. And dear friends, that's a lie. Because if you could handle every situation, you would have no need for a Savior. You had no need for a God who loves you and has stood in your place. There are times when we are in over our heads. Many times. And what does St. Paul hear from God? Or what does St. Paul say? Therefore I boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardship, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Evil is a part of our world, and it's not a fun part of our world, but even in the midst of that evil, your Lord is with you. Born into this world, we've just celebrated his birth so that evil may once again totally and completely be overcome by Christ, the baby in the manger first, but the Christ on the cross. If you want to see evil unchecked, look at the end of Christ's life. Innocent in every way, of every sin, of every law, and yet arrested. Beaten, spit upon, flogged, because evil cannot stand the truth. Framed, witnesses bribed, convicted, crucified, and killed. But not before on the cross he would cry out, "It is finished." Your sins, all the times that you've struggled with evil and done it poorly, are forgiven through this Christ. He would die. He would be laid in a borrowed tomb. And yet somewhere before the third day, Christ would rise and he would stand toe to toe with the evil one that seems to walk unchecked in our world, and he would declare victory once and for all. Sin and death and evil overcome by Christ who is risen from the dead, and he declared that to Satan. He descended into hell to declare his victory and yours. As you struggle with the evil of your lives, of your world, of the things that happen to us. God gives us these great gifts. Call upon His name. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Make the sign of the cross and remember that you are a baptized child of God connected to Christ our Savior who died and rose again for you. For now, we live in the reality of evil. Evil that tempts us. Evil that entices us. And sometimes evil that surrounds us and we're helplessly caught in it. For now, we struggle with this evil. But rest in Jesus. Trust in His promises for you. The evil of this world has been overcome. He is on a chain. He isn't free to do everything. And one day, when Christ comes again, He will be sent to hell and it will be sealed never to tempt again. Today, dear saints, hope is yours. Christ is yours. Forgiveness is yours. Strength is yours by our Lord coming into our world to overcome the evil. This is the Prince of Peace that has been born to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.